The one more comment I'd like to make in connection with this is the word desolator. You have in Daniel 9, verse 27, at the end of verse 27, there shall be a desolator. So that is the king of the north who will attack Israel and destroy Jerusalem and the temple. This third temple will also be destroyed. Just like Herod's temple. Herod had his temple finished like in the year 64 before AD, and then it was destroyed in the year 70. And so similar things will happen. This third temple that will be built will be quickly destroyed. That is this desolator that will come, and that is connected with what you have in Matthew 24, but you just quoted those verses, and that goes on with this warning, where therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation. So this abomination is that statue, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, Revelation 13, that statue will be there. That is an abomination in God's eyes, and that will cause desolation. It will cause the attack of the king of the north, the desolator, and he will pour out that desolation until that consumption and what is determined shall be poured out. God has determined this chastisement. This is the wrath of God that will be poured over them because they rejected the Messiah, because they introduced this false worship in the temple. God will have this determined wrath that will be poured out over them and also over the desolate. Desolate is a reference to the city here that will be desolate again. It will be destroyed again.
Could I make a point here? I wonder if, isn't there, in my view, a lot said about this last week in Scripture as a whole?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of the Old Testament and a lot in Revelation that really relates to what is still future around this period of time.
That's why I would encourage all of us to study Revelation in detail. We saw a little reference this morning about the importance of Revelation, but it is really the unveiling of the Lord Jesus. The Lord wants us to know the book of Revelation, not out of curiosity, but because of Him. And so He is going to have a great interest in these events. And that's why we have an interest. But Revelation gives you a framework. And in the context of that framework, you can understand where all these prophecies of the Old Testament can be placed. So that's why it's very important to study that framework, and with that framework, with the help of that framework, you can see where all these prophecies fit in.
Also, I think, too, is in view of events, the Lord's people can be discouraged. Sometimes it looks like Satan has the upper hand and is winning, as it were. But he parries, or he thrusts, and the Lord parries. And that's where Revelation points out and shows how it's always the Lord who wins. Satan makes his thrusts, but the Lord parries and drives him back. And it's important to know that, so that we're not discouraged by the saints in any age.
In connection to Brother Joe, as he was talking about Prince of God and another prince, I would like to add a little also in connection with Brother Mike's and Mike's study. But there is a very big difference between these two princes. The Prince of God, we see, is bringing life, security, joy, righteousness, peace and stability. Whereas another prince, we see death and unrighteousness and iniquity, so many things. That is totally in contrary to God's mind and contrary to heaven. So we can make out how big difference is there in between those two prince. And also, I think in Revelation chapter, it is said, the whole kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus. So always we are encouraged that our Lord Jesus has an upper hand, and He's going to dominate the whole universe one day.
I think one of the things we can now appreciate about the prophecy, as Daniel was being told it, why he mentioned to bring an end of things, to bring an end of sin and so forth. What part of what led the people to Babylon in terms of chastisement was the fact that they had forsaken their God and they began to serve idols. And God in measure cured them of idolatry when they went to Babylon. But you might cure them, but it could reoccur. It reoccurred back here. What wasn't dealt with thoroughly in the forefathers manifests itself in the children down the road. That idolatry is the problem, and there are those, and we as believers have to be careful of this. What will we do for peace? You know, just to get him off my back. The compromises we make as believers, well, it's the same thing with the Jews. Just to have a temple to make offer up sacrifices, the compromise that they made. And going along with that which they ought to have known is detestable in the eyes of God. So now when it manifests itself, God says, look, I will take care of it once and for all.
And this was foreseen by the Lord Jesus. I just want you to refer to Matthew 12. I mentioned earlier Matthew 12 in connection with the leaders of the days that the Lord was on this earth, that they rejected his ministry and they ascribed it to Beelzebub, Satan himself. And so they thought they were okay. There was no idolatry, as Brother Joe just explained. So they thought they were okay. But they were not okay because they were an empty house. They rejected their own Messiah. And the Lord says in Matthew 12, verse 43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of the man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and does not find it. Then he says, I will return to my house whence I came out. And having come, he finds it unoccupied, swept and adorned. And then he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits, worse than himself. And entering in, they dwell there, and the last condition of that man becomes worse than the first. Thus shall it be to this wicked generation also. See, what happened when they rejected the Lord's ministry, that house was empty, but then the situation became worse because now the empty house was going to be filled by that demon who came back and brought seven others. And that is the picture that we saw earlier when the Antichrist will occupy the temple that will be rebuilt. All these demonic forces will be there to take control. It will be a tremendous victory of Satan, partly, of course, temporarily. And he will be in charge there, as we saw earlier. But the Lord had indicated that it is because they rejected him. That is the consequence of rejecting him. And that is very important for us as a practical lesson. If we reject God's thoughts, and we know this is God, what God wants me to do, and I don't do it, I reject it, that has very serious consequences.